Good morning. This is KPDO 89.3 FM serving Pescadero and the South Coast. And I have with me today Alfredo Vergara Lobos, who is famous in Pescadero because of his outreach during the town planning workshop, but also he's just done so much on the coast and he's been here for a while. So we're going to talk about his background, how he got here, and also the impact he's had and where he wants to go from here. And he's going to have a show, we hope, for the radio, and that's part of it. So, Alfredo, please let us know how you're doing.
I'm doing great. It's a great day in Pescadero, and I'm happy to be here and happy to talk about the town and what we've done over the years and recently.
Yeah, I really want to go back to that town planning workshop because it was such an impactful event and you had such a big role to play. And I really want to talk about that icebreaker. I think it had such, it was very moving for me, and also I think it had an impact on many people here. So if you could describe that and just how that worked out, I'd love to hear it.
Yeah, you know, this town planning process that we did in the community took a number of months to get prepared, and lots of meetings and lots of going back and forth. As you can imagine, people from all walks of life trying to figure out how they can be in agreement about what to do for the town and how to do it, when to do it, and so forth. And all of that culminated in this town planning meeting where we used the elementary school gym. And a lot of people came out to talk about what were priorities for the town and so forth.
I think it was like 217 people, yeah, which is incredible for our community.
I know. And so, you know, I remember thinking about it the week before. I've done this work for 20 plus years, and so I can do it in my sleep, you know. In general, I can work with just about any kind of group, English, Spanish, and everything in between. But this one had particular challenges. Even the night before, there were, you know, late night emailing back and forth about signs in the town and this, that, and the other, and what people were expecting. So going into this process was not like a smooth, everything's just clear skies and everything. There were a lot of questions. And I remember thinking about what to do to bring people together as human beings and just give them a chance to say hello to their neighbors, which they don't. This is not just true for Pescadero. This is true all over the world. Is people most times don't know all of their neighbors or most of their neighbors. And there are differences. Obviously, we all understand that there are differences among us. However, I think that a lot of times we let those differences keep us apart and keep us away, in part because I think that, unfortunately, society a lot of times defines people by one thing that they might know about them. So if you're Spanish-speaking, if you only speak Spanish, you may be put in a box. Mm-hmm. About who you are. If you only speak English, you may be put in a box by other people who speak other languages. And so the problem with that is that, as you can imagine, is it keeps us stuck. It keeps us separate. And so what we did was, you know, the town planning process and the whole meeting was very structured around lots of posters and voting and speakers and all that.
Images.
Usual
a lot
town
of images.
Planning process.
Yeah. But
we did an icebreaker where we took everybody out to the playground and I asked everyone to find other people who had the same language ability. So, for example, if you only mostly spoke English, stand on this area of the playground. If you're bilingual, stand in this area. And if you only speak Spanish, stand in this area. And at some point, I'm going to ask you to form groups of three people from each of those groups, English only, bilingual, and Spanish. And I did those instructions in both languages, but try to really put out that emotionally, I was really excited about this opportunity for people to do this. And I am happy to report that I think it caught on. People were really wanting to do this. when it was time to go and find your partners for the three group, the people's groups of three, people did, and it was just magical. People were just, you could tell the nonverbal was very positive, very cooperative, very neighborly, and you know, conversations.
I had a very moving experience, and it stuck with me. I mean, it was one of those things that taught me some really important lessons, and I went and found my bilingual person. I'm an English speaker, and I only speak English, although I've tried many times to learn Spanish. But I went and found a bilingual person. She worked on a farm here in Pescadero, and I asked her to introduce me to a Spanish speaker, which was our plan. And then with each person, we asked them, what do you love about Pescadero? What do you think is powerful, or what do you appreciate about Pescadero? That was the question.
Right.
And when we got to the Spanish speaker, I was so moved by her answer. So I asked her, and she said she appreciated Puente. It had done so much for her and for the Spanish-speaking community. And that was the first time it really registered to me how important Puente was for us, and how important it was personally for her. And I felt like, oh, wow, I've missed something. I hadn't seen it in action. I thought about it. I idealized Puente in a sense, but I hadn't realized the on-the-ground impact, right? Mm-hmm. And so that was very moving to me. But I'll tell you, the big lesson I learned was, if you want to meet a Spanish speaker, ask a bilingual speaker to introduce you. I mean, it's such a simple lesson. And I hadn't thought of it. I mean, until somebody tells you, this is the easy way, go ask a bilingual person you know to introduce you. Why didn't that occur to me? I don't know. But that was a pivotal turning point in my life. It empowered me. And I think probably many other people. And I've since asked other people what they thought of it. And one of the things that they got out of it was how many bilingual people there are in this community. It was like a huge amount. It was maybe 30% of the total. Mm-hmm. So that was very powerful. That was one of the things that really moved me.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, throughout my work and working with communities, I've also observed that that's the case in many, many, many communities where for one reason or another, we either are put on a, everyone is put on a box, or we ourselves put ourselves on a box, and then that keeps us from interacting, right? Like, for example, we know that Puente has several donors, people who donate to support their work, right? Mm-hmm. We also know that there are people who use Puente services. Mm-hmm. Well, what better conversation could be happening between those who support Puente and those who use their services, mm-hmm. just to appreciate each other?
Right.
But that never happens, almost never happens.
That's true.
And in this situation, I always think that was a beginning. And I look forward to perhaps next steps and continue to increase that sense of community so that people don't have to be strangers to each other. You know?
Well, and here at Pescadero, too, we need a continuation of that workshop. In fact, one of the goals at the workshop was, hey, let's get together again and evaluate where we've gotten, because we'd identified certain big goals. And one of the things that we did is we got a group of grant writers together, people who wanted to learn grant writing. And from that, we got some very powerful people who are now involved in Sustainable Pescadero, some people who are willing to give their time to doing some grant applications, which is a really, hard thing. We had enough money between Puente and the Pescadero Foundation to actually have a grant writing class. And one of the things that we'd identified as a high goal, or one of the highest goals, was a town square plaza kind of thing here in the center of town. And also, the other big thing everybody wanted was a trail from the town to the ocean. And so our little grant writing class concentrated on those two things, and we actually made some progress. And so we still need the help of Puente and some of the more established groups like Silicon Valley Community Foundation to move that forward. But you know, things have moved, but not as far as we want to. And we need more of the town meetings to kind of help us move that
right
in the right direction.
Right. Yeah, I think it needs to continue. You know, Pescadero and the coast has always been a metaphor for me, because you know how people say that the way California goes, the rest of the country follows?
Yep.
Well, I always have thought that the coast has so much potential for being a model for how we as Americans can live together and be communities, and that perhaps it's a good model for other communities where this is not the case. And so I do look forward to this continuing in some way.
Yeah, and so we do have to get that together. But one of the things that we are still doing is Sustainable Pescadero. And Sustainable Pescadero is still meeting. And I hope we can get you to come to some of those meetings, Alfredo, you know, if only remotely. But meanwhile, back at the ranch, we're trying to get KPDO rebooted because the schools have closed, and we're trying to reach out to the kids and the families that don't have internet. And we kind of got sidetracked by this whole shelter-in-place thing. We haven't been able to move forward on a lot of stuff. But now that KPDO is getting on track, and I think actually today is May 14th, we may actually be online this weekend, which would be a miracle, honestly. But we got a lot of help from the community. Everybody supported the idea, and we got a nice grant from the county, and we have to thank Don Horsley and his assistant Bray Hunter for that. But now that we're on the air, I am so pleased that you kind of want to contribute if you can. And I think we need to reach out, just as we learned at the town planning meeting. We are, our community as a whole is bilingual. Mm-hmm. And we as a station want to reflect that. We want to have bilingual people doing interviews, having their own shows, having the music of all the cultures in our community. And we're hoping to have you as a call it a DJ or a programmer, somebody who hosts the shows. And so we have thought leaders in this community we need to hear from and that the Spanish speakers need to know about. And we also have issues that really affect the Spanish-speaking community, like getting signed up for the census, or now there's food distribution. Where is the food distribution? When is the food distribution? How can people, you know, reach out and get the help that they need? And so hopefully you can help with that. And we need to get the word out. And this is one way to do it. So just if you have thought about it, what do you think you can do? Or what is the role you see as people who are Spanish speakers in this community stepping forward and getting involved?
Yeah, you know, I grew up in Latin America. And I remember growing up and radio is all over, everywhere. It's something that you live with. You don't even think about it because it's just there. People listen to the radio all the time. They listen to the radio when they work, when they recreate, when they're having fun, when they're having downtime. And so to me, radio sort of for me and for a lot of Latinos, even for young Latinos who may be more accustomed to the internet, I think that it's in our DNA. It's been so many generations of radio in the remote areas of Latin America. That's what you listen to. And so I just dream of a time when we can have participation from the audience, from people listening, calling in. You know, like one of the things that's very common in Latin America, it's kind of like in the United States when you do something nice for your neighbor, or, you know, you let them know that they left the door open, or, you know, whatever, just something nice. But one thing that we do in Latin America is people call in and dedicate songs to each other.
Aww.
And so, you know, there are a lot of different songs that people love. And so somebody might dedicate a song to their buddies at the ranch, whatever, who are working hard this morning. And so here goes, and some, you know, some kind of uplifting, upbeat song, or it could be a love song that someone dedicates to someone. But we're talking dozens of those in one day, like where people just, you know, they connect with each other through their radio waves and do that. And of course, also interviews and all kinds of cultural content that happens through the radio.
Yeah, we're hoping that we will have the call-in capability. By the way, I should just sort of tell everybody what our phone number is so that the word gets around. It's 879-9176. We're not ready today, but hopefully by the time we have a show with a call, we'll be ready for that. But yeah, I love that concept that we're connecting with each other by dedicating songs to each other, or, you know, just calling people out for the good work that they're doing, or, hey, I love this person, here's a song I want to dedicate to that person. That's so great. That is such a connecting and binding and you know, attaching thing, so that we have that interconnection and we are connected. Now, unfortunately, where we live here in Pescadero, many, many areas do not have internet. For the English speakers, they kind of think the only way you can connect with people is the internet. And it's a mistake to think that, because the radio has been a powerful force for distance learning for decades, and for connecting communities for decades. And where we don't have internet, and we're not going to have it for a long time, this is a powerful tool. And we need to start using it. We have, very fortunately, a teacher put this license together in 1996, and we have to take advantage of it. So that's what we're trying to do. And so are you planning on having a talk show or a interview show or a combo, or what are you thinking?
I would like to have a combination talk show and call-in, where a topic would be covered, whatever it is, you know, and then have the participation of callers. Like I was thinking on my way here, I was thinking, you know, wouldn't it be great to talk about health and wellness in this time, right? But how are we staying healthy and well? And then talk about all the different things that one can do, you know, et cetera, that a lot of times people know, but they just don't do, or if they don't know, then they can find out. And then, for example, talk about what are some activities that people do and have people call in. What are some people doing to stay healthy, to stay mentally sharp and healthy in this time of shelter in place? And then maybe even say, you know, let's see who's got some exercise equipment you want to call in. You have any exercise equipment you want to get rid of, and then call in, let us know, and we'll, someone may be listening who wants a bicycle or wants a treadmill, you know, and
that's a great idea.
You know, I mean, that's the kind of thing that I would like. I'd like to do something that would be helpful and would have an immediate impact on people.
You know, there's a lot of people. There's one person who wants to do a show on how to do your own gardening, how to do your own how do we cook now that we have to cook? What are the easy recipes? Because so many people are suddenly realizing, I don't know how to cook, but I can't go out, so what do I do? And they're eating canned food all the time. You know, just what do you do? And how do you grow some simple vegetables in your garden? Or should I keep chickens? And what's that about? You know, so there's that aspect of, hey, do it yourself. How do we sustain ourselves now? And then there's another person who's reading stories that the kids can listen to at nighttime when they're going to bed. They can read some funny stories. And I think it would be great if even book clubs met online, you know, had it talks about the books they're reading. In fact, when I listened to you talk to Louis Castoria the other day, I realized, oh my God, you know so many books, so many movies that are from Latin America. It would be great for you to have a segment on just what, you know, what books are you recommending right now, or what movies would you think people should go back and watch, rewatch, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I just, obviously, the elephant in the room is the internet, right? We have the internet, and there's so much content that gets delivered and shared on the internet. But I think that one potential for a radio station like KPDO is that people can become aware of content that they don't think about or they don't know about.
Right.
Like there are books online, there are movies, there is YouTube, there is all kinds of stuff. But until you sit down for 40 minutes and talk about the ins and outs, the pluses and minuses, why it's important to read, why it's important to watch a documentary, and so forth, people won't do it. I know. I'll just speak for my community. A lot of our Spanish speakers, you know, we love our novelas, you know, our soap operas at nighttime. Everyone who's listening, you know what I'm talking about. We like our 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock novelas. That's all right. It's okay. But, you know, there's something, there's a lot more beyond just soap opera or entertainment media. And there is instructional media. There is self-help stuff that you can read for your own, you know, improvement. There is connecting media that connects people with each other. And the radio can be a wonderful way to start, where you can just get, you know, kind of focused and settled in and say, okay, why don't I have a garden? Right? I have the space in the backyard. I've never really thought about it. Well, should I? And then just listen to the show, the podcast or whatever, and then maybe the speaker has a referral for a link where you can actually see all the steps visually that you have been listening to on the radio, and then go ahead and do even a small garden. Mm-hmm. Why not?
So, yeah, and people should know that there's a way for them to, say, go to the library and get on the internet if you don't have internet at home, so that you can look up these things that people talk about on the radio. So you may be introduced to some podcasts, like you say, mm-hmm. or some online books, mm-hmm. Or even get, you know, familiar with, hey, no novellas, you know, so that's soap operas, right? Hey, you should tell us about some novellas we should maybe get on the radio.
Well, yeah, I mean, there are radio novellas too, and there are some of the old, I stopped watching a while back, so I just remember the old school ones, and you know, there are so many of them, so many really good ones. Times have changed, and now there's all kinds of stuff, and a lot of times I feel like some of the content is almost gratuitous violence or sex or drugs, you know, and, you know, who am I to say, you know, don't do that, but there are others that are really more, I would say, more than just entertainment, more than just gratuitous, you know, waste of time, and there's just some great acting and some great, you know, there's always love stories involved and all kinds of things, but we should watch out for how much time we spend watching stuff and how much time we focus on our energies, and I think KPDO can fill a gap that a lot of communities have where, you know, there isn't a whole lot of good content, you know, a lot of good learning or a lot of good community building.
Well, if you can, you know, send us some ideas, we want to take advantage of it. I would say that we're actually looking at putting like old-time mystery theater on and some old archived mystery shows late at night kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But it would be so great if we had some Spanish content mm-hmm. like that, where you could point us to some good programs mm-hmm. that you think that the Spanish-speaking community would mm-hmm. really like to hear.
Yeah.
We want that, too.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Looks like lots of activity going on out there. You know, we're getting our studio ready to go, and we're very close. In fact, today is the day that we're going to bring the computer down here. I'm teaching people how to use the scheduler for the program.
Oh, good.
For the broadcast program and stuff like that. Great. So, yeah, we're getting really, it's exciting. Mm-hmm. We're getting really close, but it's also a little bit terrifying because there's so much coming together.
Right.
So, you know, we're having a program called the Really Local News, or Really Local News.
Oh, cool.
Which is, you know, like from the Pescadero Council, they have a website that says what stores are open, what their hours are, how they're operating, what their resources are. And then there's a Spanish one that talks about, you know, Puente and their schedule, but it also talks about the same things, the stores, the farm stands that are open, the things that people can get. Mm-hmm. And then we've, you know, all these resources for mental health or for the census. The census is such a big deal right now, and it's unfortunate, you know, that we haven't been able to actually be talking about that. It's so important that we get signed up for the census. And so actually we're going to have some, San Mateo County has reached out, and they're giving us some public service announcements to give people. They're wanting us to reach out and make sure people know that they have to sign up for the census.
Right.
So that's one service we can provide, telling people exactly how to do that. And, you know, Puente's going to be helping that. And then Puente's doing tax returns for people, you know, and Puente's doing all these other things. But also there's all these little community stores and stuff that are trying to survive.
Right.
And we have to start supporting our local stores. So we're going to be talking about, so Aaron Murphy has a store, has a program called Local Revolution. He's talking about the revolution of buying locally, growing locally, sourcing locally. And it's happening all around us. I mean, here we are, a mecca for organic farms, and there's a lot of locally produced food here, a lot of foodies here as well. And so he's interviewing people who are actual farmers or growers, or they're, you know, they have chicken farms and they're producing the eggs. And these guys are going crazy right now because some of the big producers out in the world, the monoculture people, can't handle it. And so our little community is slammed trying to produce all this food for all these different, like New Leaf and Whole Foods and Safeway, you name it. So he's talking to those people, and then there's a show that they want to call Do It Your Damn Self about how do you set up a garden, or how do you do composting, or, you know, all that stuff. And then somebody wants to do a recipe show, easy cooking, Mimi's stories, you know, reading stories to kids. We would love it if we could get a Spanish speaker to read stories in Spanish to kids.
Well, that whole idea that you were just talking about, you know, that's also been on my mind when I've been doing the work here on the South Coast and on the coast in general, with Latino communities. You know, this is the way we used to live. This is the way most people who come to this country used to live. Most people, even though they may have lived part of their time in some big city where they came from small towns.
Right.
A lot of people came from small and mid-sized towns. And people worked the land. Lots of what we call campesino, people who grew up generation after generation, working the land and living in the land. And so not uncommon to see people with like crops in the back of their house, and they grow and they eat what they grow. Well, unfortunately, for some weird reason, when we start thinking about American life and being a real American, you know, there's all this consumerism that pops up, and it's about having a good paying job, having two cars, and having a house, and then walking down the shopping mall. Well, see, that's gotten us in trouble, right? For our country.
Right.
And so what you're talking about in terms of consuming locally, consuming organically, and not depending on the big sort of producers that don't live here, that don't care about what they're putting on our tables, but actually knowing who's growing what we're eating. That's as Latino and as culturally appropriate as it gets for a lot of us who've come from places where we have been closer to the land than we are now. Mm-hmm. Now, here, I think that a lot, not all of it, but a lot of American culture is about moving people away from the land. And I totally agree with the revolution concept, and you know how that can happen, and how do we make it so that it's accessible for all people, right? It you know, for a lot of time, the past couple of decades, organic or locally farmed and locally produced food has been for those who can pay. Well, actually, you know what? It's not that way, because organic food actually is not more expensive than conventional, but that's a topic for another show, which we can talk about in terms of how conventional food gets so subsidized that actually our taxes are paying for conventional food. But long story short, here in Pescadero, I mean, what perfect environment for people to come together and actually truly commit to consuming what the community produces. Mm-hmm. And that's just a wonderful idea across cultures.
I just want to remind everybody, this is KPDO 89.3 FM. This is Coastside Conversations, and our conversation today is with Alfredo Vergara Lobos. And we're talking about local production as being a normal part of life from the people who came from the land in southern South America, and how it's just really a healthier way for everybody, and we shouldn't be so dependent on the consumerism. It's actually made us dependent in a weird way. And this thing that you're saying about how we suddenly think, oh, our signs of being rich are two cars and a big house and this and that, when in actual fact, you know, our happiness and our wealth comes from our contentment with a life well lived that is including a healthy food, healthy living, right? Mm-hmm. And that's something very possible here. We're one of the blessed communities where we have all the food we need. It's right here. Mm-hmm. And we have the weather that allows us to grow practically year-round. We've got mm-hmm. like three growing seasons, right? Mm-hmm. And there's some people who've come up here from South America who are natural farmers. I mean, they learned it. It's in their bones. It's in their DNA, mm-hmm. right? And there's no reason that they can't have a garden, you know? Mm-hmm. And so to have to retrain them to do it, it's a reminder. This is the good life.
Right.
This is how to live the good life. Right. Is to have a garden to be content with the beautiful weather, the wonderful food, and the family life.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, it's reconnecting. That's one of the big jobs, is helping people reconnect to who they truly are. You know, the other very common trend that I find in Latino communities in the U.S. and also throughout Latin America, right? Believe it or not, many, many, many people in Latin America are born entrepreneurs.
I believe it.
That's partly out of necessity, because a lot of those societies, a lot of those governments don't have very strong safety nets, so people have to hustle, mm-hmm. really, to make a living.
But also work hard.
You know, people like that kind of stuff. And people, you know, when you grew up in Latin America, you know how to bargain. You know, I remember going to the market with my grandmother and sometimes like looking down, so ashamed of how much she was like bargaining down to like the last penny, and I was like, grandma. But you know, the ladies would look at her and go, oh my goodness, okay, I guess I gotta lower my price. But point I'm trying to make is, you know, we know what American entrepreneurship is, and we know that we are a world model for entrepreneurship. However, don't think that Latinos can't do that.
No.
There are a lot of people sitting in their living rooms who are great thinkers about how to transform systems and communities through entrepreneurial stuff and ideas, mm-hmm. who are not doing it. So why not, you know,
start a conversation about it? Yeah, I'd love it if you would help have that conversation. For example, we have this very entrepreneurial family in Pescadero. They work for Sims Plumbing, and then they have that one of the sons is a car mechanic. He started his own shop where he's, I think, actually painting and doing cosmetic work on cars. And then there's many small businesses here where the ladies of the community are, you know, cleaning houses. And there are many men who are going out and doing handiwork where they fix up the floor, they put in a floor, they paint, or, you know, there are many entrepreneurs in this community, and mm-hmm. we need to kind of, you know, celebrate it. We need to mm-hmm. encourage it. We need to acknowledge it and appreciate it. This is entrepreneurship, and the basic ingredient for entrepreneurship is creative ideas and hard work. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. To start a business, it's like having a baby. You put your heart and soul into it, right? You have to develop the context and put the word out and price it right and figure out a budget. It's involved, and yet it's kind of ingrained in us. If we have been somewhat poor in our background, we want to do better. Mm-hmm. You know, we want to hustle, as you say, and that's, you know, it's true of a lot of Americans. it's almost universally true of immigrants, right?
That's right. That's right.
And so most, did you know, and I don't know if this is commonly known, but most of the 500 biggest technology companies were formed either by immigrants or the children, first generation of children of immigrants.
Wow. No, I didn't know that.
It's because of that energy. It's because of that the opportunity that they see, the ability to have that freedom to start a business that they may not have the resources or encouragement to do in their own country, mm-hmm. right? You need mm-hmm. some basic right. safety nets to even think about starting a business.
Right.
And so once they're here and they're working and they're thinking, hey, I can use some of this money and start something of my own.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. 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 And so, you know, another aspect that gets into that conversation is that it's internalized oppression, right? So there are groups of people who are discriminated against for a variety of reasons, right? It could be racial, it could be ethnic, it could be language, it could be sexual orientation, sexual expression, whatever you want to think about. There's always somebody discriminating against somebody else. And so
that's true.
What that does for a lot of Latino immigrants, and I'll just speak for my community, the Spanish-speaking or bilingual immigrant community, is once you are oppressed over and over again, you were oppressed back home, and now you come here and you keep being discriminated, you get to a point where you actually believe this stuff.
Mm.
And you actually do think that you are less than somebody.
Mm.
And so when an opportunity shows up, let's say to do to take on an entrepreneurial project, people have this personality complex that says you're not as good as a white person who would actually go. So they actually defer or yield or think that, you know, they don't deserve that opportunity. I say you're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You deserve the opportunity even more because you've come all the way here. You've taken that huge journey, which was your first entrepreneurial project, by the way, mm-hmm. coming to a different country. You've succeeded because you're here. Now, this is a piece of cake. You can actually go and compete with anybody in terms of whatever that is that you want to do that's a business opportunity or an investment or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so I talked to a lot of people about that, and they kind of look at it and reflect and kind of say, yeah, you know, you're right. That's something I hadn't thought about it that way.
Well, even having a farm, if you have your own farm, that's definitely a business person. That's an entrepreneur right mm-hmm. there. And mm-hmm. and if you have a green thumb and you know how to farm, you just need a little plot of land to get started, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I think that that's hard on everybody, the price of land right now and the price of housing and all that stuff, something we really need to work on. But I think if there were more landowners who understood the need, who could, you know, put out some, hey, 20 years of work and you own this land kind of thing, you know,
mm-hmm.
what they used to call a lease option to buy, where you lease the land for a few years and then that counts as a down payment and then you can actually buy it. We've got to do stuff like that. We've got to start coming up with economic mechanisms that allow people to build wealth. And part of that is, you know, can you build a tiny house and then put it on a piece of land? And now you've got a house. We've got to give people stepping stones.
Mm-hmm.
And these little tiny businesses are a stepping stone, whether it's a farm or a handyman or a cleaning lady, you name it. We've got to give those people a way of building wealth because it's right. It's the right thing to do. We all need to be able to participate in this economy. And otherwise, we have hopelessness.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, we have anxiety. We have this feeling of meaninglessness. And in this country right now, there is an epidemic of depression, anxiety, partly from social isolation, but also because of this huge wealth inequality that mm-hmm. we're dealing with, where the people who have keep it and don't share. You know, we've got to start working on helping leaven the soil and making sure that all these entrepreneurs have a stepping stone,
mm-hmm.
have a ladder. You know,
there's also a lot of separation right now.
Yeah,
there's a lot of polarization between people. And going back to that icebreaker that we did at the town hall meeting, you know, we all have to do this together. It's for our own well-being and for our own prosperity. Mm-hmm. If you have whatever you have, house, farm, job, whatever, and you know someone who doesn't, reach out to them. Just make them feel part of this community, because guess what? The more prosperous and the more participatory those people are, the better off you're going to be.
Right.
You know, because we're all going to thrive and the community is going to lift all of it by itself. If you, on the other hand, are someone who don't have a lot, you don't have a home, you don't have land, you don't have this, you don't have that, and you never would actually cross the street and go say hello to someone, like we did in that exercise. Find someone who's bilingual and talk to people. People are people at the end of the day. They are not brown, black, white, all of the markers that you want to put on. Of course, they're part of us, mm-hmm. but they don't define us.
Right.
And until we talk to people and until we come to relationship with people, if we don't do that, there's no chance. It's only going to keep stagnant or get worse. You want to transform this town? You want to transform this region?
Mm-hmm.
You got to come together. You got to have the courage to reach out to people, engage in conversation, talk about projects, talk about ideas. You never know what's going to come out.
Mm-hmm. You know, what's really been surprising to me in the last few years is how much POST is helping this situation. You know, POST was, let's not go where POST was. Let's just say what POST is. And POST is like the only entity that's actually building farm labor housing right now.
Mm.
And they are actually supporting farmers of all, organic farmers of all sizes, small and large. And, you know, that is a force for good right now. We need to take advantage of it.
Yeah.
And to the extent that we have these farmers who are just trying to come up, we need to have a conversation with the people who have the land, like POST, and talk to them about ways that these people can be part of the agricultural community.
Mm-hmm.
Because right now, there are barriers to entry that we have to start, you know, pulling down.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody wants to be a farmer, but this is farm country.
Yeah.
Let's face it, that we're in a rural agricultural community. Our resources, the land, the climate, the ability to grow.
And it's also a tourist destination.
That's true. That's true. Hey, and people could have farm stands, you know. People could have little grocery stores, you know, like the Phipps Ranch thing. What was that? That was it was a glorified farm stand with a petting zoo, kind of.
I know.
You know?
I know. I remember. I visited it many, many times.
Right. And we had, you know, you could pick your strawberries, you could pick what was there. There's lots of opportunities for entrepreneurship here if, you know, we can start talking to each other about how we can provide that. Right. Not just for the farmers, but also for people who need housing. If we could get the county to reduce the barriers to having auxiliary dwelling units or tiny houses, people could get a foothold in the housing market. You know, get started.
I'm glad you're speaking about this, and I'm glad that KPDO is, you know, wanting to play a role in this. My question for Pescaderans, you know, the next time you're walking around town, you know, think about how separated Americans are right now. How polarized the country is, and how people see each other as other than instead of with each other.
Right.
And then decide, make a decision. Do you want to be like the rest of the country, or do you want to start coming together as a community and beginning to plan what the next 10, 20, 30 years are going to be for Pescadero? I think your answer is the latter, just from hearing what people said at that town hall. You know, I'll tell you what, I am convinced that any time this community comes together and tries to do something together, you are unstoppable. No one can stop you.
Yeah.
Not the county, not the state, not the feds, not large nonprofits or land-owning nonprofits. Everyone wants to do what this community wants to do if you're going to do it together.
I agree. And I think one of the most powerful things that came out of that town planning workshop was how united we really are when you finally get down to it. We're all on the same page. You know, it's a matter of just experiencing that unity in a room, which we did, and realizing how powerful we are together, you know, and how little divides us, mm-hmm. you know. I mean, yes, it sounds big that one, you know, one group is Spanish speaking, one group is mono English speaking. Fortunately, we have these wonderful bridge people, these bilingual people mm-hmm. who, a lot of them are just mm-hmm. very involved in our community, thank goodness, you know,
right.
which is wonderful. We have a lot of ESL teachers here too,
uh-huh.
you know,
yeah.
and we need those people to come forward and help us, and they're doing it. Mm-hmm. They're doing it. And if they had avenues, if they were given the agency to actually make this happen through, you know, maybe Puente or through the Sustainable Pescadero or through, you know, county programs or through post or whatever, then I think we'd see big progress in the sense of people being able to build wealth and to become a more equal partner in the community.
Right, right. I agree. And, you know, we don't know where this shelter in place is going to be. Everyone's guessing anywhere from, you know, a shorter time to a long time. Mm-hmm. So
I think it's going to depend on the person to some extent. Like if you're an older person, you may be fearful of becoming part of the community. If you're
right.
a young, healthy person who thinks they're invincible, mm-hmm. you want to get out there, you know.
But, you know, the thing about it is it's taken me a while. I work with lots of nonprofits, lots of groups, like the group that I work with here at Pescadero with the town planning and so forth. And it's taken me a while to realize what they have already been saying all along, especially the more visionary groups. This, as depressing as it can feel and as routine as it can feel that Wednesdays look like Sundays and Sundays look like Wednesdays, you know, it's actually a great opportunity. Mm-hmm. It's actually one of the best opportunities to rethink how we want to come out when we come back out of this. Mm-hmm. Do we want to have the same Pescadero that we had before? Okay, it's not that that's terrible. But would we want to have a better Pescadero than we did before? Of course, I think everyone would say yes. More prosperity, more involvement, more of everything. The things that we like to do, not the consumeristic aspect of it, but the real community coming together and caring for each other, knowing each other, talking to each other. I think that this is a great opportunity to do that.
I agree with you. I've been very impressed with how reflective people have been, how people have rethought some things. Like, wow, isn't it amazing that the pollution has gone away, mm-hmm. you know? And what does that mean? Are a lot more people going to be working from home? They now realize they have that power. Mm-hmm. Some people are sick of it because, you know, their homes are so chaotic right now with the kids that are, you know, being taught from home, etc. But some people are loving it and realizing, wow, I didn't have to commute every day,
right?
You know, and so there's some people who are going to change their lives for the better in that way,
right?
Making their lives better, making the environment better. And then there's some people who unfortunately have lost their jobs. They've had face-to-face jobs. They can't wait until they get back to work.
Right.
This has been devastating for them.
Right.
And we've got to be supportive of those people. We've got to help those people. This is where I think universal basic income comes in. I really think we need to provide a foundation mm-hmm. for everybody so that they can be entrepreneurs or they can go back to school or they can do what they have to do to retool. You know, mm-hmm. hey, what if it's becoming an air conditioning technician? Whatever's going to be sustainable over the long term, we need to help people make that transition.
Agreed.
Right?
Agreed. And not just that transition, but the transition from business as usual, which is I only talk to 8 people in this community and I have my group of friends here and nothing wrong with that. It's just so limiting. Mm-hmm. There is so much potential here. There are so many wonderful residents and neighbors of all walks of life. And so, you know, you whatever you want the future of this area to be, you're going to have to come together and have these conversations. And I, for one, I'd be more than happy to be a part of that either translating or facilitating or whatever, because that's what I do for a living. And, you know, it, my gift is connecting and getting people to a place where they say, oh, why didn't I do this before? Mm-hmm. You know, that's it. If I can get that done, you know, I'm happy.
I sure hope you become involved because, I mean, honestly, if you're going to do a call-in kind of a show, that'd be so great. But, you know, if you can come to the Sustainable Pescadero meetings and kind of see what's going on and, mm-hmm. and help push people a little bit more into mm-hmm. another town planning kind of a, let's do something that, you know, brings that town planning initiative to the next step.
Yeah.
You know, because we can't leave it alone where it was. We've got to keep progressing as a community. And this is an opportunity to do that.
Right.
Partly through KPDO, partly through, you know, Sustainable Pescadero, and partly through just taking advantage of what's already here, meaning Puente and Post and the school system and all that, you know.
Yeah.
And let's get together and see how we can move this community forward, right? We do have our isolated groups, and I think we'd all be empowered if we could have a little bit more unity, a little bit more understanding of each other.
I agree.
And having a bilingual station is one way to do that, you know?
Yeah, it can begin to be the radio version of that new community.
Right.
So be happy to help out.
You know, one of the problems we found out is that there are an awful lot of people in our community, as I said before, who have no internet connection.
Right.
And just being able to reach out to those kids, to reach out to those parents, to reach out to those families. You know, we've also asked for a little bit of a grant to get people radios because people have radios in their cars. They don't necessarily have radios in their homes, you know.
Right.
And so to make sure that those families have radios, that's one of the things that we're trying to do right now.
Right.
But I think it's not going to work unless there are bilingual shows. And by that, I mean shows that are shared by an English-speaking host and a Spanish-speaking host.
Right.
We're going to have a show on Wednesday nights called Pescadero Cares. And I'm not sure how that's going to be translated, but it's a call-in counseling show, you know, for people who are feeling isolated or lonely or need help in dealing with the, you know, say feelings of depression or whatever. Mm-hmm. How? What are your strategies? What do you do?
Right.
And it's going to have both a English speaker and a Spanish speaker as hosts.
So great. That's awesome.
So people can call in and just sort of get some basic, how do I deal with this kind of strategies? Because I think a lot of people are feeling lonely, you know, and they don't know how to reach out. What do I do?
Right. Now? I know the feeling. I know I've been there and I've seen it. I see it almost every day in communities like Pescadero. And a reminder, all it takes sometimes is a few walks, a few steps out of your front door to some other neighbor's door that you've never said hello to. Bring your mask and your gloves, of course. San Mateo County wouldn't want me to not say that. and then say hello. Just say, how you doing? I live two doors over, or I live over there. I just wanted to say hello. If you speak Spanish or if you only speak English, don't let that stop you. You have no idea whether someone will respond in your language or vice versa. Or the worst that can happen is you'll both go find someone who's bilingual. And now you have a three-way great conversation. And that beats any online anything that you're watching on the internet or on the television. That is just community building.
Yeah. So basically that's what it's all about, is helping to create the bonds in our community so that we can support each other through whatever we're going through.
Right.
And
right.
Some of us are going through hard times, and some of us are, doing pretty well. And we need to share, you know, with each other. One of the things that's amazing is how people have stepped forward. Lots of people have stepped forward to help each other and support local businesses in whatever way they can and things like that. Lots of people are still paying the person who came to clean their house, for example, because they know that that person needs that money, you know?
Yep.
And that's important to be sensitive about and be aware of.
Mm-hmm.
And so whatever we can do, we are trying to do, and then we need to keep it going, you know, push it forward so that we can create, as I said, a community that's empowering everybody, mm-hmm. right? And by empowering, I mean giving them a voice and also giving them strategies or stepping stones for moving up the economic ladder.
Yep. Agreed.
Yeah. Okay, so we're getting to the end, and we have to leave room for our public service announcements and our local underwriting and our station IDs and all that kind of stuff. But I just want to say I'm so glad, Alfredo, that you want to be involved and that you see a way to contribute. And we'll have to talk about a time slot and, you know, exactly. Maybe we'll have to set it up for you. I think the very first person that you absolutely need to interview is my opinion, Rita. Mm-hmm. Rita Mancera. Mm-hmm. We've got to arrange that for you.
That's right.
She probably has lots of things to say and lots of plans. And that would be, golly, you could probably do 2 hours. But it would be great as a stepping, as a, you know, first big step, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. then we can set you up with some, what I was telling people who were going to do the counseling show, I said, people are going to be afraid to call in, get some people in the community to do that, you know, promise to call in right from the beginning,
right,
to give people the courage to actually do that, right?
Yeah. And no, if we have a call-in show, I'll have people call in. I can guarantee you that, because it doesn't even have to be about a lot of the stuff we're talking about, but it can be, of course. But you know, I there are people my age or about my age or a little younger. I'm getting up there, who would love to have like one of the big singer songwriters in Latin America featured, like mm-hmm. 50 minutes of conversation, perhaps reading some things about their biography that people sure. don't know about, sure. playing some songs, and then having some people request songs. Sure. I mean, I can almost guarantee you that people will be calling in, because that does not get done.
Oh, well, that's a good idea.
That doesn't get done.
That's awesome. What a great niche. Yeah. And it doesn't have to be anything about the community. It can be, like you say, an artist, a singer, an author, a film director, anything.
Right.
Any
right.
creative person, any right. thought leader, mm-hmm. anything about, you know, the life of our mind,
that's
not
right.
just of our body, you
that's
know,
right.
and spiritual as well. I mean, we have ideas for spiritual, you know, shows about spirituality on Sunday. And it doesn't have to be on Sunday only. I mean, we can talk about thought leaders in terms of raising our consciousness in various right. ways too. Right. So
right.
there's lots of opportunities there. Okay. So I just want to thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, it's been awesome.
Glad to be back.
Very awesome. And just leave you. This is Catherine Peary, and this is Coast Side Conversation. We've had great fun of having Alfredo Vergara Lobos as our guest. And we will talk to you next time. This is KPDO 89.3 FM, serving Pescadero and the South Coast.